Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me shall continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
I know I shall see in His beauty
the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Forever I am.
Amen. This morning again, thinking of how good it is to be forgiven, how it is to be a child of God, and then reading, this came to my mind lately. I've been thinking a lot about what it means when it says in Matthew 26:41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." It says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I see, looking around in our Christian life, the church in general, I see the need of prayer, and that we do not let get lukewarm and so forth. We see the church needs to be revived. We need to stand together as a unit on fire for the Lord, and we need to be brilliant. We need to be willing to repent, to humble ourselves, to go back to God, and to seek His face with all our heart, soul, and mind. To seek Him, to humble ourselves, as it says in 2 Chronicles 4 talks about that. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. And just this whole thing of being a prayer warrior, to be ready to pray, to watch, to walk carefully. I think we in today's world, we need that. There's another verse in James 5:16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer and of a righteous man availeth much." I tell the inmates sometimes in prison, I tell them, these dear widows and widowers back home that we got to know, There's a lot of these that are great prayer warriors. They pray for you in the institutions. They pray. They want the best in your life and in your family's life. And God hears these prayers. We see churches being built in the institutions. We see great, man of God on fire for the Lord. You know, where the Crusades have happened a lot, it's obvious there's things happening in these institutions. There's an institution of a few thousand men, seeing like 400 men totally dedicated their life to God. That is such an encouragement. And vice versa, we go home and we share those stories to these, older people. Sometimes they have a hard time to do other lots of hard work and whatnot. But to be a prayer warrior, we had a widow there, and I'm sure we have lots of those around here too. But there was one especially that reminded us every time that she prays for all of her grandchildren every day. Her whole family, they had a big family. And she was up in age. I think she was close to 90. And she still prayed for every one of her grandchild by name, her children and grandchildren by name every day. I thought that's quite a testimony of being a good prayer warrior. And, go back home, share what God is doing, to people that are incarcerated, that have had a poor home to grow up in and didn't have weren't taught to pray and to understand what life was all about. And that there's somebody like old grandmas, old grandpas today can't travel anymore. Health insurance doesn't allow them to go anywhere. But being home and just stand up in prayer is a blessing. It's a power of God's kingdom standing together. And then the thing of being watchful and to be careful that we don't go to the left or to the right. I think of thinking of that. I think of Peter. What kind of man he was in this world, and he was a man on fire. We know Peter as when we study up on him a little bit as a disciple. We know how he was so ready to be in the front line or to run and do something and to jump over the boat and walk on water. And you know how Peter, what a man he was. But he wasn't a perfect man either. When it came to, how he walked behind Jesus when Jesus was being tortured and brought to be crucified. And we know the story there in Luke 22, how he loved Jesus enough to follow him. But at the same time, he had pride in himself that denied him at the other side, and how Peter was ready to repent when he found what he actually did. He was a great man, but he failed miserably denying the Lord Jesus. And there in Luke 22, verse 62, it is, Peter. It says, let me just go to that verse. It's a short little verse there in Luke 22, verse 62. It says, "So Peter went out and wept bitterly." I think there's a part here that we sometimes take too for granted. If we have failed, well, let's just forget about it and walk on in life, and we don't even... It's like halfly admitting, yeah, we probably could have done something better, but we probably don't recognize that as sin. If I complain or if I grumble, if I do the opposite but being thankful, that is sin. If I complain, that is sin. It's not just, well, I could have, maybe done something a little better than that. And just kind of forget about it. But here we see Peter, that he had denied Jesus. How often do me and you deny the Lord by not following the Holy Spirit's leading? The Holy Spirit would have said, is saying something different than what I actually pursued. My thoughts and my feelings followed after what Satan actually influenced in my life. And I shared words that were killing words rather than uplifting words of life. And, the thought of just having this repentant heart of, as Peter had, of just taking it to heart and regret deeply of the wrongs that we've done. I think there's power in that. I think there's that repentant heart that sometimes needs to be there in order to really walk on forward successfully, be able to get rid of habits maybe or things like that. So we know Peter, he turned back to the Lord. He had a deep pain in him, in his heart, when he recognized what he'd done. And we know how Peter's life from there forward went. We know where Jesus actually said, on this rock I will build my church. And it wasn't because Peter was a perfect man, but it was because he had a repentant heart. And he was willing to take a step forward again. Even though he fell once, he got up and moved on in life. And was willing to take another try, another step forward. We know in John 21 where Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He had to ask that three times till Peter actually recognized what that means to love the Lord Jesus with all his heart. And be willing to give his life sacrificially, not just taking the advantage of the blessing that Jesus was to him, but no, being there to stand up, to be willing to bleed for the kingdom's sake. And we know how Peter, from there forward, he was the man that stood up when Pentecost Day came, where people turned to him. That's again in Acts. I'm not going to go to all these scriptures, but in Acts where we hear how Peter stood up and brought the truth to the people. There were lots of people around that believed lies, that believed these men are drunk. There's something wrong with these careless people getting drunk and act like they're holy and whatnot. That's what people were thinking. But no, Peter was ready to stand in the gap, go up in the front line and beat the enemy, the spiritual wickedness, the spiritual lies that were dwelling, to defeat them and help people understand. And where people turned to the Lord and 3,000 souls. What an amazing thing. But Peter was willing to be bold. Brothers, men, husbands, fathers, let us be ready to stand as a spiritual leader. And be a man that's willing to fight the enemy. Starting in our own personal life, moving into our family's life, where we're to for our children, and in the community. And I see that happening. But looking back in my culture, I see a lot of need that way, where we need to be willing to take the Word of God as it is and move forward in life, be victorious Christian leaders. I'm so excited to look at this young man's life. He's a young man in Belize Instant Prison, and he was 19 when he got into prison, and he was frustrated and angry. He would have liked to take his life. He thought there is no hope for his life. And he tried to escape. He escaped. He got caught again. And then he was put into the Supermax, he calls it. The Supermax lockup area, where he had a square room, cement floor, no bed. He had only, all he got was 2 cups of water per day. Think of the heat in Belize, how to survive with 2 cups of water in 24 hours. But he lived like that for 4 months. He was in this lockup area. And, the only thing to sleep on was a hard cement floor and 2 pieces of bread per day to eat. There in that room, he would have liked to take his life if he found anything, how he could do it. There in that room, he was starting to read the only book that was handed to him. And that was the Bible. He started reading that book. And he realized, it talks about a God that loves the people, that actually was loving him. And he was starting to call out on this God. God, if you are real, talk to me. Reveal to me that there's any hope for me. Long story short, this young man received the Lord in his heart. He was hearing God speak to him in different ways. And he chose to believe and follow God. And he wrote his testimony on a pamphlet. And there's people away from the institution in the country of Belize trying to get a hold of this man in prison, trying to understand how is there hope for somebody being locked up. There's people out there that don't have hope even though they're not in the prison. But they find themselves so bound spiritually that they don't know where to go. And they're just frustrated and angry and would like to take their life. But when they hear of somebody, even in prison, can have joy and hope and peace, he is busy helping people, not just in the institution, but outside of the institution. He's a lifer. But when you meet up with this man, he has life. He has joy. He has a word to share of his own testimony. And he has, he's been going through the seminars that we taught a few times. Now he is teaching the seminar in prison, The Bondage to Freedom. And he actually became the official chaplain of the Belize Institution there last July. It's just about a year ago. I'm excited how a young Peter, like we would say Peter, his name is Agrippo, but I'm thinking of the disciple Peter a little bit when I think of this man and how God is doing work in people that are willing to accept truth in their life. And no matter if they are legally tied up, physically tied up in an institution, but nothing keeps them back from being a life giver like we know Peter was. When Peter was in prison, he started singing and praising God. I still find myself, I have a long ways to go to in every situation just to rejoice in the Lord, be able to defeat the enemy and not believing lies that he is trying to destroy my life or that I am destroyed because of what he is trying to do in my life. I'm not destroyed. I'm not defeated. I have a free life in Christ to follow him. Choose to believe him. Choose to give thanks in every situation. Because I know Romans 8:28 is true where it says, for everything works together for good to those that love God. So let us believe that. Let us pursue that. Let's follow what Jesus teaches us to watch and to pray, that we do not fall into temptations, even though the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Let's not allow the flesh, the weakness, the vulnerability of ourselves, the feelings to play in, but believe and follow the Spirit's leading. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like man. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation. We know Jesus' prayer, right? But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And it is in this life here for us to believe his word rather than to believe the enemy's attack. And so on. So the question for us is, how can I be alert to spiritual danger? Or how often do I spend time in silence waiting before the Lord? Do I put on the armor of God daily? Do I spend time listening to God so that I can be guided by the Holy Spirit? I think we probably all have watched or are familiar with that War Room video. To me, that was a tremendous challenge when I watched that. You know, this prayer warrior just in our private times, alone in the closet praying, being a real winner and seeing God at work when we believe his word and we pray sincerely. We pray and seek and follow his ways. I just want to close with that part. We have two more songs to share. It says, I'm just going to ask the family to come up. And we're going to share a few more songs before I close with prayer. But let us look forward and, you know, keep our eyes focused on our destiny. We look forward to when Jesus will come. And we have a song here that says, Jesus is coming soon. Look ahead when Jesus is coming and be faithful in our fight.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling our hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away.
Jesus
is coming soon, morning or night.
Morning or night or noon.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead
shall rise. Righteous.